Shalom, friends online.
We have been raised up with Messiah. We are seeking the things above, where Messiah, our Lord, is seated at the right hand of God, with our minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. We have died and our life is hidden with Messiah. In glory, when Messiah is revealed, we'll shine with him in glory. We have been raised up with Messiah. We are seeking the things above, where Messiah, our Lord, is seated at the right hand of God, with our mind.
We just praise him and give him glory. And today we celebrate that he came and he was concerned and loved us enough to share in his glorious power, enabling us to be able to do wonderful things just like he does. And he's a wondrous God. He's a wonder-working God, and he's a God of miracles. Amen. And we are in the season of miracles, so we're expecting a miracle today. Hallelujah. And the miracle of Jew and Gentile is an amazing miracle. He's got two of us together, and we're one in him. Jew and Gentile,
one in Messiah. One in Yeshua, one in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
One in Messiah,
one in Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love.
Help us, Father, to love one another with humble hearts, forgiving each other. Heal our wounds, bind us together for the world believes.
Jew and Gentile,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
Jew and Gentile,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love. Let it be, let it be, let it be.
One in Yeshua's love.
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 Hey!
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, Carol, if you want, you can start filming us. You can do film the music if you want. If you have time. I don't know if you're able by yourself back there. If not, just wait till the sermon.
Hallelujah. It's by His love that we have His power. Amen. And if we walk in His love, the power will just like flow forth. So Lord, help us to open our hearts and be that world of love for everyone around us. Help us to love like You do, so that we can be a conduit of Your power. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Awake, O Israel. Put off your slumber. Awake, O Israel. Put off thy slumber, and the truth shall set you free. Far out of Zion comes thy deliverer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah!
Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Oh, hallelujah!
Oh, hallelujah!
Put off thy slumber,
and the truth shall set you free.
For out of Zion
comes thy deliverer
in the year of Jubilee.
Oh, hallelujah!
Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord!
Oh, hallelujah!
Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord!
Much affliction
I have chosen
thee, behold. And so for iron
I'll give thee silver,
and for brass of him
gold. Oh, hallelujah!
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 Hallelujah! Praise the Lord!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord! Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thou art my chosen,
for I have sought thee.
Thou art graven
on my hand,
and I will gather
scattered, they shall come back to their land. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Give Him praise, y'all. Give Him praise, y'all. Give Him praise. Praise to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, clap your hands, all you people.
Of triumph.
Clap your hands, all you people. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice, a voice of triumph. Lie, 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 lie. With your voice, a voice of triumph. Sing your praises to our God and King, for He is King over all the earth. God reigneth over the heathen from His throne in Zion. Hey!
Clap your hands, all you people.
Clap your hands unto the with your voice, a voice of triumph.
Everybody!
Reveal the glory of the living God.
let the weight of your glory fall. Spirit of the sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known.
Friends on Facebook, I'm Rabbi Joe. This is our Shavuot Pentecost service, and we just thought we'd give you some worship today, and welcome friends in the house, friends online. Carol was telling me that our online viewership is growing on live stream, and that's a great thing that more people are watching on live stream. What are you doing next? Huh?
What's your fireball?
Oh, okay. I don't know where that is.
I know. I had a hard time getting it. That's okay. You can keep talking if you want.
I can't talk if I can't find my music. Okay, there it is.
Altar. fire fall. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Lord, Lord, let your fire fall. Purify your people. Set our hearts aflame. Give us holy passion. Come and glorify your name. Lord, Lord, let your fire fall. Lord, Lord, let your fire fall. Lord, Lord, let your fire fall. Lord, Lord, let your fire fall.
Come and show your power. So unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. Just reach out to him because he's faithful.
Faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace. I depend on you. call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my
happens. Feels like a storm sometimes, especially when it feels like you've left us and we feel helpless. We feel like the disciples when he left and went to heaven and they were left alone, and then they had to face the fact that they were left to continue the work that Yeshua gave them. It was a heavy task. Amen. And we can sometimes feel that we're left alone to do the work. It's all up to us. But you know what? He loves us, and he sent his power and his comforter to comfort us and help us. Amen.
If you think about it, he left it in the hands of 12 kind of not two together guys, you know.
Sometimes I mean, really, the way we
he left
like
the salvation of the world in the hands of 12 fishermen and one guy named Paul, who was a scholar, but most of them were a tax collector. But I mean, not really. He trusted those men.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Hallelujah. And it was his love that really pulled them in and helped them to receive and then to go out and give. Hallelujah.
Never be discouraged if you're starting. You know, when I started this ministry 24 years ago, the Lord gave me a scripture in Zechariah 4. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. And, you know, we have seen times where we had large crowds. We were, for years, we had overflow crowds at the bagel shop, and they all kept saying, Rabbi, Rabbi, we need a bigger place. We need a bigger place. And so I bought this place, and then a lot of people criticized me and said, Rabbi, Rabbi, we don't want to go to that neighborhood. Rabbi, that's not a good place. That's not a good place. It's not about the place, guys. It's about the well. The well here, you know, I know the pastors, you can have a seat. The well here was a Pentecostal church before, and I knew the pastors who had pastored here, and I knew their sons, and I knew, they're still friendly with the guys. They're now grown up adults, and they pastor churches. Michael Booker and Covenant Fellowship, and Dale Wright of Judah Church. And so they're my friends, and they got their start here years ago. So there was a well of the Spirit already dug, just like Abraham Isaac went to redig the wells that his father had built, dug. You know, in Genesis 26, he went back to the wells that had been dug. So we've been digging those wells. Anyway. So that's why we chose this building, not by sight, but by faith. We're going to take up our love offering today. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing one more song, and then I'm going to teach on the feast. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise for the feast of Shavuot and Pentecost. And we just thank you, Lord, that your word says that we're to bring an offering on this day. It says in Deuteronomy 16 that all your men shall come from every country to the place that you choose to celebrate this feast, Now, we know, of course, in that place became Jerusalem. Of course, we can't all go to Jerusalem, so we go to synagogues wherever we live, you know. And we're to bring an offering. The Bible says we're to bring an offering. And if the men went, of course the women went, because who's going to cook for them? If the men went, I mean, seriously, if the men went for 2-3 weeks, you know, who, the women went too. So they all went, the whole family. That's why Yeshua and his whole family went to the feasts. Anyways, so we're going to bring the special feast offering today. And from Deuteronomy 16:16, and may God bless you as you give. We're going to bless the givers and bless the gifts 100-fold. We ask in the name of Yeshua. If you're watching online, you'd like to participate in the feast offering, you're welcome to do that. God bless you. You can just go to our website, and you can contribute right there on PayPal or by credit card. And folks online anyway, so we're going to play one more song, and then we're going to I'm going to teach on Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, how the ancient feast, Jewish feast of Shavuot, became a Christian holiday called Pentecost. We're going to talk about the unity of Jew and Gentile, and how God brought us, you know, and wants us to be together in unity. Hallelujah.
Sweet, sweet, sweet presence.
Don Bell original. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Test 1, 2. Glory. We have people watching all around the world. We have folks watching in Australia and England, sometimes Canada. Thank you, Eric. And United States. We broadcast throughout most of the English-speaking world. Yo hablo español, pero no puedo hablar español y inglés a la misma vez. At the same time, I can't speak Spanish and English at the same time. So I'm speaking English. And but if you are interested in me doing a Spanish message, then let me know what format you like. I'm thinking of doing one on YouTube, doing my messages in Spanish. And so let me just get my Bible, and I'll be right back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So today's message is going to be about Jew and Gentile. We're going to talk about the ancient feast of Moses, and we're going to talk about how 1,400-year-old, it was about 1,400 years before Pentecost when God instructed Moses to celebrate a Jewish holiday we call Shavuot. If you turn with me in Leviticus 23, Leviticus 23, we'll look at it. And it became the Christian holiday of Pentecost. I don't know that too many Christians celebrate Pentecost anymore. Fred and Martha, did your church celebrate Pentecost today? It did? Good. Some churches don't do it anymore. They don't really observe it or remember it. But I can't know that unless I talk to people that are going to churches. So, but anyway, so let's turn to Leviticus 23 and find out how this Christian holiday of Pentecost, which was a feast of Moses, and a lot of churches are New Testament only, and so they may not know that they're celebrating a feast of Moses. You know, and if they do know, you know, or if they don't know, you know, that it's a feast of Moses, they might think it was under the law, you know, because it was in the law that it was the commandment to celebrate the feast came in the law. So, you know, the people who were in Jerusalem, all those Pergians, Pamphylians, Cretans, you know, people from Mesopotamia, which is Babylonia, and Elam, which is Persia, and people from Rome and Asia Minor and Turkey, all these people that came to celebrate the feast of Pentecost, that, you know, were really, they weren't thinking New Testament. They were actually proselytes to Judaism. They didn't come for Jesus. They weren't there for Yeshua. It's Jesus' Hebrew name. They weren't there to worship Jesus. So you might wonder why those people were in Jerusalem, but they weren't there for the Lord. They were there for God. They didn't know about Jesus. Of course, 3,000 were added that day when Peter preached. We're going to talk about it. But first, let's read in Leviticus 23 in verse 15. We'll start in verse 1, actually. we'll start in verse 1. So, Leviticus 23:1. Then Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them, these are the appointed times of Adonai, which you are to proclaim to be holy convocations, my moedim, which means my appointed times, my feasts. It also means feasts. Work may be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy day, a holy convocation. You are to do no work. It is a Shabbat in all your dwellings, a Sabbath. A Shabbat means Sabbath in all your dwellings. So all of these feasts, we're to be holy convocations, which we're having now. Anytime you go to a synagogue or a church to worship, you're having a... can you check the angle on these cameras just to make sure we're good, Eric? If you can just take a look at them. So all of these feasts are... they're to be holy convocations. In other words, you don't do them at home. They're to be done... in God's house. You're supposed to go to God's house and gather with his people. Now, some people have big families. You know, I know people who have 8 children, and they do home church or home synagogue, whatever. That's kind of fudging a little bit. You know, you're supposed to gather with the community. It's supposed to be a community event. That's what a mikre kodesh is, a solemn assembly. He wants us to assemble. That's why, again, why were all those Pergians, Pamphylians, and Cretans? And if we go to Deuteronomy for a second, go to Deuteronomy 16, it confirms what I'm saying, that it's not a home holiday. You know, Deuteronomy 16:16 says, 3 times a year, all your males are to appear before Adonai, your God, in the place he chooses, which we know is Jerusalem, at the feast of Matzah, of Passover, at the feast of Shavuot, which is this feast, Pentecost, and at the feast of Sukkot in the fall, so which is the feast of the feast of Tabernacles or the feast of Booths. So there's 3 feasts that God commanded his people to celebrate and appear before the Lord, not at home. They were to travel. They're known as the pilgrim feasts. They're known as the Shalosh Regalim. Everybody say Shalosh Regalim. Shalosh Regalim. That means the 3 pilgrim feasts, the pilgrim festivals, okay? And these are the most important festivals to the Lord. That's why he pointed them out, that the people from all over the world, of the, you know, Jews, he's talking to Jews at this time, but eventually, you know, in Acts 2, we see there are Gentiles coming to worship God, the God of Israel, and we'll see that in Acts 2 when we get to it. So we see here, it says, 3 times a year, all your males are to appear before Adonai, your God, in the place he chooses, at the Feast of Matzot, the Feast of Shavuot, and the Feast of Sukkot. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. The gifts of each man's hand according to the gift of each man's hand according to the blessing Adonai your God has given you. So we're to bring a gift to the Lord according to the blessing that God has given us. We're to bring the best offering we can, he says, to the. So he's not saying do this in your home, is he? He's saying go to the place. And the place that he picked for us, for this region, is here. This is the synagogue of the city, which I wrote about last month. This is the synagogue of Bristol. It's the only synagogue where you're going to get Jewishness and Jesus. It's the only true synagogue. It's the only one with a Jewish rabbi who was raised, you know, a disciple of Rabbi Joseph Dov Ber Soloveitchik, a disciple of Neil Gilman, Rabbi Neil Gilman, a disciple raised in Newton, Massachusetts, by a Jewish family, and I have a pedigree. Went to the Maimonides School of Boston, yeshiva. You know, I have a pedigree not unlike Paul. Okay, that's my Jewish pedigree. For those who are curious, I'm the only Jewish guy that God sent 1,000 miles to come to this area to do this. Other people are doing it, and they're playing the feast, but they don't. They're not doing it together with the Jewish. They're not going to the synagogue as God prescribed, and that's problematic, because the whole point of me coming here was not to teach churches to do it on their own, but because I said to the Lord, Lord, you got Seventh-day Adventists, you got Seventh-day churches like the Church of God, the Worldwide Church of God back then. It's no longer in existence. They used to do the feasts. So I got, Lord, why do you need me to go down there? There's churches on every corner. I didn't understand. But what he said to me is, I want you there. You've never been down this road before. But he was setting up shop. This is an outpost for a spiritual embassy of spiritual Israel. This is the place. I know, he sent me 1,000 miles. I would never have picked it. I didn't even know this place was here. And there are people who've learned from me, copied me, who aren't Jewish, and they're out there doing their thing, and it's not real because they're not sanctioned, they're not ordained, and they're not sent out, and they're not connected to the Jewish people, to the Messianic Jewish community, to the leadership of the Messianic Jewish community. In other words, Paul was connected to the apostles, who were the leaders of the Messianic Jewish world of his day. He went to Jerusalem seeking their blessing. Paul went. He didn't just go out on his own. He got saved, went out in the desert 3 years. He didn't just go out on his own. He went to Jerusalem seeking Peter, right? He went to Jerusalem, and he went in Acts 15. He went down there to tell them, that Gentiles don't need to be circumcised. That Gentiles don't need to be circumcised. There were a lot of Pharisaic Jews in Jerusalem that were zealots, and they wanted all the Gentiles to be circumcised. They were very legalistic about it, and Paul was down there arguing, they don't need to be circumcised. And James declared those Gentiles only needed 4 things to have fellowship with the Jews. In Acts chapter 15 at the Jerusalem Council, James said that the Gentiles who believe in Yeshua and Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, that they only need abstain from meat that's strangled. They only need abstain from fornication. They need to abstain from eating blood. And they need to abstain from food sacrificed to idols. They need to abstain from food sacrificed to idols. So I don't eat anything that's blessed in the name of another god. Okay? If you read a food like some of that Tillamook cheese is blessed in the name of another god. I won't mention what god that is, but you can read it on the cheese package itself. Not all of their products say that. Some say kosher. But if it says if it's got an H, it's something else. It's another god. If it has a K, it's kosher. And so I don't eat food that's blessed in the name of another god. And when you go to Israel on tours, your tour guide, even your Jewish tour guides, are going to take you into neighborhoods where they serve food that's blessed in the name of another god. I won't go there. I won't eat that food. I used to. But God convicted me that He didn't want me to eat that, it's not pork. It's just blessed in the name of another god, and that's why I won't eat it. Okay, so Jewish people, a lot of secular Jews in Israel, tour guides and stuff, they're secular. They'll go eat anything. They'll eat that stuff. They don't realize what God is commanding. Okay, so these are the pilgrim feasts. And today is one of them. That's why they were in Jerusalem on this day. That's why those people traveled from all those countries, proselytes, Romans, Mesopotamians, Pergians, Pamphylians, Cretans, Arabs, it says, proselytes or Gentiles, who are followers of the God of Israel, people from Cyrene, which is Libya, and Africa had come up, and all over the civilized world, Elam, which is Persia, they'd all come to Jerusalem, thousands and thousands of people. had come because they were fulfilling the commandment of the Lord to come to the place that God established. Praise God. Okay, so let's go back to Leviticus 23. So God says, gather in a holy convocation. Don't do this at home. It's not a home feast. None of his holidays except Shabbat were meant to be. You can have Shabbat dinner in your home Friday night. And if you want to do it right, if you want to do it, you know, right, you do it Shabbat dinner at home. That's what Jews do. And then they go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. That's, they celebrate, they go, they worship, they gather on the Sabbath. Some Jews go to the synagogue on Friday nights, and then they go home and eat dinner. So they have a Friday night service, or they'll eat dinner first, and then they'll go to the synagogue for Friday night service, and then they'll go to the synagogue again on Saturday. That's kind of fun because it's a brief service on Friday night. We don't do it. We just do Saturday. So let's look in verse 15, and let's see this holiday, Leviticus 23. So, all right. Okay, so in verse 15, then you are to count from the morrow. Hallelujah. Let me just look at something for a second. Okay, then you are to count from the morrow after the Shabbat, from the day that after that you brought the omer of the wave offering, 7 complete Sabbaths until the morrow after the 7th Sabbath. So in other words, at the Saturday at Passover, you're to count 7 Sabbaths, 7 weeks, okay, to the 7th Sabbath after Passover, which is today, which was yesterday, and then count, and on the day after that, it says, you were to count from the morrow after the Shabbat, from the day that you brought the omer of the wave offering. That's how we know it's from Passover, because the wave offering is brought on Sunday morning during Passover. It's brought on the first day of the week, on Sunday. That's how you can tell that Shavuot, there's a dispute in the Jewish community. Some believe that, see, the first night of the feast is a Sabbath also. It's a high Sabbath. Everybody say high. High Sabbath. Now, that's nothing to do with marijuana. It's a high Sabbath. It means it's a special Sabbath, okay? So the first day of Passover is a high Sabbath. So the rabbis, the Pharisaic, the Orthodox rabbis, they count starting from the first night of Passover, which was a Wednesday, I believe, this year. It was a Wednesday. So they started their count. So they would have celebrated Pentecost this past Thursday. Many Jews and Messianics celebrated Pentecost on Thursday. But if you follow this where it says on the day of the wave offering on the first fruits, that's the Sunday during Passover. And so that, in other words, he's counting from the day before that. 7 weeks till the morrow, in other words, 50 days or 7 weeks from the day that you brought in the wave offering. Now, I'm going to show you what the wave offering is in a minute, but let's just finish reading this, and then I'll teach you about the wave offering. So you were to count from the morrow after the Sabbath for the day that you brought the omer of the wave offering, 7 complete Sabbaths until the morrow after the 7th Sabbath. You are to count 50 days. And then, so, when do we celebrate Shabbat? What day of the week? Saturday. When? What day do Christians believe Jesus rose from the dead? Friday? Thursday? Tuesday? Sunday? Easter Sunday, right? Resurrection Sunday? Amen? Matthew 28 says, they went to the tomb on the morrow after the Sabbath. Matthew 28, verse 1. They went to the tomb. The women went to the tomb in the morning, on the morrow after the Sabbath, and an angel met them and said, who are you looking for? And they said, our Lord. And they said, the angel said, he is not here. He is risen. Go see the tomb where he lay. And they went inside, and he wasn't there. It was empty. And that was on the first day of the week. If you read Matthew 28, it says on the first day of the week. Do you know in Israel what Sunday is called in Hebrew? Yom Echad, day one. Yom Echad, day one. First day. Monday is day two, Yom Sheni. Tuesday is Yom Shlishi, the third day. Wednesday is Yom Revi'i, the fourth day. Thursday is Yom Chamishi, the fifth day. Friday is Yom Shishi, the sixth day. And Saturday is Shabbat. And then we go back to Yom Echad, the first day, Sunday. So Matthew 28 makes it quite clear that Yeshua rose from the dead, our first fruits from the dead, it says, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Yeshua is our first fruits from the dead. He rose from the dead on the feast of 49 days from the feast of first fruits. What am I talking about? First fruits. Okay. Let's back up a little bit. Go to verse 9. So Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them, when you have come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, then you are to bring the omer of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, to the high priest. He is to wave the omer of the before Adonai, is to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath." That means on the first day of the week, on Sunday. The high priest is to wave it. On the day when you wave the omer, you are to offer a male lamb without blemish. So let's stop there. Let's go on. It says the grain offering, verse 17, with it should be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, unto Adonai, for a soothing aroma. And so the grain offering, which was the wave offering, so it was to be unleavened. It was to be made without leaven. it was to be unleavened. And so it looked somewhat like this. Maybe it was bigger, I don't know. But so it's called the Feast of First Fruits. Sunday, the day of the resurrection, was depicted. Everything has a shadow, foreshadow in the Bible. Every major event, biblical event in the future has a foreshadow in the Bible. And so this piece of bread represents Yeshua because it's pierced. It's pierced and it's striped. By his stripes we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. Okay? And it's bruised. He was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. And it's unleavened. It's sinless. Leaven is in the Bible is equated with sin. And so it's unleavened. So the priest, the high priest, would wave it on the morrow after the Sabbath on a holiday called Yom HaBikurim. Everybody say Yom HaBikurim. Yom HaBikurim means the feast, the day of first fruits. On the day of first fruits, the high priest would wave this before the Lord to be accepted. It was the first fruits of the barley harvest. So they would cut the first bit of grain of barley, and they would grind it into flour, and they would bake a cake according to the instruction of the Lord through Moses. They would bake an unleavened cake, and the high priest would wave it on the morrow after the Sabbath, on day one, the day of the resurrection. Okay, so turn now to 1 Corinthians. Hold your place in Leviticus. We may go back there. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, okay, so it says that, I think it's verse 20, but now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits, the Bikurim. Everybody say Bikurim. The Bikurim, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also came through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Messiah all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Messiah, the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Messiah, then the end when he hands the kingdom over to God the Father, and he has destroyed all rule and authority and power. Okay? So it says, Paul says Yeshua is our first fruits. So before Jesus came, we needed an object to represent him. Remember, he said, I am. Remember, he took the bread at Passover. And he said, this is my body. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen? So the bread that the priest waved represented, it represented the Messiah. Diane, would you get me another piece, want a whole piece back there, please? I broke this one. It represented Jesus. Capiche? Is everybody with me? So on the Sunday during Passover, it was the Feast of First Fruits, and the high priest would wave one piece of bread, unleavened bread, the same kind of bread that Yeshua, Jesus, told his disciples, hey guys, this represents my body. This is me. So the high priest was waving it. It was a resurrection offering. Amen? From the ground. It was the first fruits from the dead, just as Paul said in 1 Corinthians. For Messiah has been raised from the dead. You said it right down. Thank you, sweetheart. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So if we count 49 days from that Sunday, we come to today, Pentecost, Shavuot. Okay? And there's a new grain offering. Let's go back to Leviticus 23. In verse 15, then you are to count from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the omer. This is the omer, right? This is the first, the wave offering. From the day that you brought the grain offering to Adonai, you were to bring out of your houses two loaves of bread now. So on the 50th day, everybody say on the 50th day, that's what Pentecost means, 50th in Greek. Pentecoste means 50th. On the 50th day, on Pentecost Sunday, you are to bring a new grain offering, verse 16. You are to count seven Sabbaths to the day after the seventh Sabbath, which is today on Sunday, and then present a new grain offering. Everybody say a new grain offering. To Adonai, you are to bring out of your house two loaves of bread for a new wave offering made of two-tenths of an ephah of fine flour. They are to be baked with hummets, with leaven, as first fruits to Adonai. Okay, now Leviticus, I believe it's chapter 2, tells us that we are not to any grain offering offered to the Lord. Leviticus tells us that any grain offering is to be baked without leaven. Okay, without leavening. Okay, except this one. This is the only offering that's made with leaven. We're going to find out why. Everybody with me? Just say yes. You guys with me? Okay. So we got a new grain offering. Okay. And it's supposed to be two loaves. Take a look. Two loaves of bread. Okay. Everybody see? Capiche? Two loaves made with leaven on as a new first fruit offering. As a new first fruits on this Sunday, 50 days from the day of, 49 days actually, from the Sunday. Oh, 50 days. We're 50 days from the day of the resurrection. No, 49, whatever. We're close enough. 49 days from the resurrection. 49 days from the resurrection. We offer a new wave offering to God. The high priest would come and he'd wave two loaves. Now, why? And not old time people have been here a long time. Don't answer this. I'll let the people who are visiting see if they can tell me. Why was this the first fruits offering of Passover? And why does it all of a sudden now it's two loaves of leavened bread. Can anybody who has not been heard this message before tell me why? Anybody? Any guesses? No penalty if you don't get it right. We sang a song, Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. Aren't we loaves of bread? If Yeshua is sinless, and he took the bread of matzah of Passover and said, this is my body given for you. So this represents Yeshua, the first fruits at Passover. And now we're doing a new first fruit offering on the Sunday of Pentecost, or Shavuot, made with leaven. Looks good. And we're but two loaves, Jew and Gentile. Not, it could be man and woman, but I think it's Jew and Gentile. Amen? One in Messiah. Isn't Pentecost about Jew and Gentile coming together in the Messiah? Isn't that what the whole holiday is about? Isn't that why all those Jews and Pergians and Pamphylians and proselytes, Gentiles, were in Jerusalem and Arabs were there and Jews from all over and 3,000 were added that day? And then they went back to wherever they came from and they shared that they had found this Jesus, the Messiah, and they prepared the way for Paul to come a couple of years later and teach them about Yeshua, disciple them, and baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Didn't they go back to their homes? Paul went to cities. Think about this for a second. Paul got saved right after the resurrection. He's on the road to Damascus, right? And he's going to persecute the believers in Damascus, okay? He hears that there's believers, Jewish believers up in Damascus. He's going to persecute them. But he's struck blind, and all the people around him are freaked out. His guys who are with him are just like hiding, you know, they're all terrified. And this voice speaks to Paul and says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, you know, what did he say to him? Something, Lord, you know. I don't know. He answered him, but he knew it was the Lord. And he said, you know, he said, go and tell them who I am now. You know, go to Damascus and tell them about me. Amen. And then he told this guy in Damascus, Ananias, he said, I'm sending this guy, Paul, who persecuted the Jews, to you. And I want you to lay hands on him and pray and anoint him because he's blind and he wants you to take away his blindness. So I want you to pray for him that his blindness will leave. And so Paul went to Ananias, and Ananias was terrified of the guy because Paul was a murderer. He killed guys like Ananias, you know. And Ananias knew who Paul was. He's like, no, Lord, do I have to do this? This guy's a bum. I mean, he's dangerous, you know. He's like a mafia hitman. You know, he's going to kill me. I don't want to go near him. Lord's like, don't worry, Ananias. He can't see you. He's blind, you know. He could shoot, but he'd miss. So just anoint him. He's okay. He's one of us now, you know. He flipped on the FBI. Now he's one of us. That's just a joke. He wasn't really a mafia hitman. He was a Jewish hitman. But anyway, so Paul went to Damascus. But did he go out to those countries where all those people from Pentecost were right away, or did he go out into the wilderness for 3 years? He went out in the wilderness for 3 years. Amen. And then only then did he start his missionary journeys. To Corinth, to Philippi, to Thessalonica, to Greece, to Macedonia, Achaia, which is Macedonia. He went to those places after he spent 3 years in the wilderness and after he got the blessing of the apostles, right? He sought their blessing. This is so important. This is so key that you get the blessing of people in authority and don't go out and start your own ministry without, you know, Paul didn't go out and start his own ministry without the blessing of the apostles. And it's important that if you get saved, yeah, share the gospel. I'm not saying don't share the gospel with people around you, but if you're going to go into ministry full time, connect with leaders, get discipled, get blessed and sent out with God will send you. God never closes a door in your life without opening a new door. Okay, so many people I've seen. They run out this door, but God hasn't opened a new door. You know what I'm saying? And I see it with jobs. I see it with people just leaving, with people marrying the wrong person. I've seen so many people marry the wrong person that they just wanted to. They were hot to trot. You know, they were burning. You know, like that Blue Oyster Cult song, I'm burning, I'm burning, I'm burning for you. Yeah, yeah, baby, let's get married. That's the wrong reason to get married, amen? That's a bad, bad reason. Don't marry because you burn. Marry because God sent you the person who is meant for you. Your beshert, amen? The right person, because you'll be miserable. If you marry the person God didn't send you, then you won't be happy spiritually. Okay, I'm getting off the track. So anyway, so two loaves. This is 1400 years before Pentecost, give or take. God used two loaves of bread. Remember, at Passover, Jesus himself used a piece of bread to talk about himself, right? He said, this is me, guys. But on Pentecost and Shavuot, he told Moses, take two loaves of bread. Leviticus 23, was it 16? Yeah, 16. Present a new grain offering to the Lord. Bring out of your houses two loaves of bread, a wave offering made of ten. So these are first fruits also. Talks about, are we going to be resurrected on Shavuot, on Pentecost one day, some year? If Yeshua was resurrected on the Sunday during Passover, does that mean that if this represents our resurrection, or if this represents his resurrection, does that mean this holiday represents our resurrection? I don't know. We haven't seen it yet. Could be, because that's what Bikurim is, the first fruits. So it very well could represent our resurrection, Jew and Gentile. But we were always meant to be together, okay? That's why the two loaves. And that's why there were Gentiles. And let's turn to Acts 2 now. I'm almost done. But I wanted to explain how this feast of the Jews became the Feast of Pentecost that Christians celebrate. Actually, do you know it's the only holiday that for 2,000 years that Christians, non-Jewish believers, have been celebrating since the days of the apostles, since the time of the apostles, Gentiles have been celebrating this feast. Isn't that fascinating? They stopped Passover. It was banned by Constantine in 325. He banned Passover and changed and created Easter as a new holiday celebrating the resurrection. He banned Passover. But Pentecost, which was a Jewish holiday, for some reason, they let that one slide. Amen? They didn't stop it. I find that fascinating. So let's look at Acts chapter 2. So, so it says verse 5, oh, let's start in verse 1. When the day of Shavuot, because that was the, under Moses, that was the name of the holiday. When on the day of Shavuot, had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues like fire spreading out appeared to them and settled on each of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Ruach enabled them to speak out. Now, Jewish people were staying at Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound came and the crowd gathered, they were bewildered because each was hearing them speak in his own language. So the tongues they were speaking was not It wasn't that kind of tongues. Amen. They were actually speaking like French or Spanish. Buenos dias. Yo soy Peter. Yo quiero enseñarte sobre el Espíritu Santo. I want to teach you about the Holy Spirit. Pero primero tienes que aceptar Jesucristo como tu Mesías. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Messiah. They were hearing in their own language. Amen. The Italians were hearing Italian. The Spaniards were hearing Spanish. The Arabs were hearing Arabic. You see, that's what the tongues they were hearing. Each was hearing in his own language. That's what it says. And they began to speak in other tongues, and the Ruach enabled them to speak out. Now, Jewish people were staying, verse 5, in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound came, the crowd gathered, and they were bewildered because each was hearing them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, all these who are speaking, aren't they Galileans? Basically, that's like saying, aren't they hillbillies? If you're a Galilean, that's like the equivalent of being a hillbilly, okay? So you ever saw the Beverly Hillbillies? They kind of made them look like they were dumb, kind of basically hillbillies. I mean, they weren't considered to be the brightest people, and that's the way that people up north look at people in the South. They think they're all dumb. They think that we're backwards. They think we don't use toilet paper. I mean, really, that's what they think. They think we're country bumpkins. That's what they think about people in the South, where I come from. Okay, I was so open-minded. I married a girl from here, a lovely one. Amen. And she's elegant. She's an elegant lady. She's a Southern Belle, as a matter of fact. In fact, I made her a Southern Belle. She married me, and she instantly became a Southern Belle. She married Joe Bell. Okay, all right. So my name is Bell. And for those of you who see Rav Joe Abelow, my real name is Bell. Handle. My handle is Rav Joe Abelow. That's actually an old family name before 1911, when my grandfather came to this country. His name was Abelow. He changed it to Bell at Ellis Island to shorten it and make it more American. But my real name is, my name is Joe Bell. So my wife Dawn became a Southern Belle the day she married me. All right, so let's go on. Ba-dum-bum. Yeah. And when this, so, each was hearing them speak in his own language in verse 6. And then verse 7, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, all these who are speaking, aren't they Galileans? In other words, aren't they country bumpkins? Aren't they hillbillies? How is it that we each hear our own birth language? I mean, these guys are not, they're not educated. Verse 9, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those living in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya towards Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jewish people and proselytes, Gentiles. In our own Cretans and Arabs. Arabs were not Jewish. We hear them declaring in our own tongues the mighty deeds of God, and they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, what does this mean? Others poking fun were saying they are full of sweet new wine. Yeah, they were full of new wine, all right. The new wine of the Holy Ghost. Amen? They were full of the new wine of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And so 3,000 were added that day. It says, Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Judeans and all who are staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and pay attention to my words. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken about by the prophet Joel. It shall be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my ruach, my spirit, on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my slaves, male and female, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will give wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire, smoky vapor. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of Adonai comes. It shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Adonai must be saved. Shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, a man authenticated to you by God with mighty deeds and wonders and signs God performed. He preached the gospel that Jesus is the Son of God, of the Nazarene, that he is the Son of God, that he was buried, he was crucified. He was buried 3 days and three nights. He rose from the dead on the third day. And he preached that gospel to them, and 3,000 were added on that Shavuot. So in the New Testament, under the law of grace, because we read that the spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua, in Christ Jesus, has set us free from the spirit of turn to Romans 8 for a second. You can hold your place. I'll do it. Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua, for the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has set you free from the law of sin and death. So did you know that grace, that salvation was a law? The law of the Spirit of life in Messiah. In other words, you're saved by grace, right? What sets you free? Salvation, right? So he's calling it the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has set you free from the law of sin and death. How many of you knew grace was a law? I said that to a guy one time. He didn't like it. Grace is actually a law. You're under the law of grace. Because I'm not going to get into it. It just is. And why is it? Because the Bible says so. The Bible tells me so. All right. So let's go back. So 3,000 got saved under the new law. This new law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Amen. Everybody say the new law, the Spirit of life in Christ. Caused 3,000 people to get saved. But under the law of sin and death, on the same holiday, turn to Exodus 19. Under a different law, Exodus 19. Verse 1, in the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, third month is the same month of Pentecost. Shavuot is in the third month. Passover is in the first month. If you count 50 days from Passover, you get to the third month, okay? What month is it? Oh, Anthony's gone. Anybody know what month it is? The name of the month? It's. I can't reach it, Don. If you could check it. For me. What month is it? Sivan. Sivan is the third month. Sivan. Okay, so the first month is Nisan, like the car, Nissan. Or as people in the South would say, I drive one of those Nissans over there. See that truck? That's a Nissan. That's my pickup truck. That's a Nissan. Nissan. Amen? You like my pickup truck? It's a nice one, isn't it? It's a good one. Yep. Okay, so let's read here in Exodus 19. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, that same day they arrived at the wilderness of Sinai. They traveled from Rephidim, came into the wilderness of Sinai, set up camp in the wilderness, and Israel camped there right in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and Adonai called to him from the mountain, saying, "Say this to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you listen closely to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all people, for all the earth is mine. So far as you will be my kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which you are to speak to the sons of Israel." So Moses went and called for the elders of the people and put before them all these words, and Adonai had commanded. But if we go down, it says that Moses went down, and it says, Moses went down the mountain to the people, consecrated them, and they washed. In the morning on the third day, there was a thundering and lightning, and all, you know, the people were terrified. And somewhere it says that 3,000 died. Maybe it's in chapter 20. Chapter 20. Moses wrote the law. Well, I don't know where it says it. Maybe somebody could look it up. But it, basically, 3,000 died on Shavuot in the wilderness. 3,000 died. You remember the golden calf incident? And Moses came down and he saw them with Aaron had built a golden calf, and the people were dancing and partying and feasting, and they were worshiping this golden calf, which the Egyptians used to worship cows. And so they went back to their Egyptian ways. And they were all having a good time partying, worshiping. They said, you know, Moses is gone. He's left us. He'll never come back. So let's build a golden cow. Everybody bring your golden jewelry and whatever. Aaron melted it and fashioned a golden cow. And the people were worshiping the golden cow. Moses came down the mountain. He saw it. And then he said, whoever's with me, with God, come stand by me. And all the Levites who were with him came and stood by him. He said, now take your sword and go kill those people. He killed 3,000. 3,000. So, anybody find it? Just look up 3,000 died on in the wilderness. Thank you, Eric. He said to them, this is, what book is this? Shemot, Exodus. What chapter? Chapter 5? 32? Chapter 32. Okay. And it says in verse 7, he said to them, this is what Adonai, the God of Israel, says. Every man put on his sword and go to and fro from gate to gate through the camp and slay his brother, his friend, and his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did as Moses said, and that day from among the people there fell about 3,000 men. Then Moses said, consecrate your hands today to Adonai. Whoops, I lost it. But 3,000 died under the law, because the spirit, the law, the letter kills and the spirit gives life. Amen? The law of life in Messiah Yeshua set 3,000 free, thank you, Eric, on the same day, some 1,400 years later, 3,000 were added. But under the law, the letter kills. Under the law, 3,000 were put to death. But under the spirit of life in Messiah, 3,000 were saved. You see? It's an object lesson for us. That in Messiah, it doesn't say don't celebrate the feast. It just says do it in Messiah. Amen? And even many Christians celebrate Pentecost. Now, they may not know why they're celebrating it. They may not know. Maybe they do. They may not know that they're celebrating a Jewish holiday. I don't know. Did your preacher say that they were celebrating a Jewish holiday today? didn't mention that. Well, you were. You can tell them. And you can show them this message if you want, you know, and say, if you want to learn where this holiday came from, there's a guy over there on Norfolk Avenue that explains it, you know. But yes, Pentecost is a Jewish holiday, and it's meant to bring Jew and non-Jew together, one in Messiah. We're meant to be together. And the way to celebrate it is just like they did in the book of Acts. Jew and Gentile, worshiping God, worshiping Yeshua in the house of God together. Everybody say together. Last scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, last verse. And then we'll go. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2. Can I eat a piece of bread? I'll wait till after. I'm so hungry. I haven't had anything since breakfast. Ephesians 2, verse 11. I am going to have a sip of coffee. Don't worry, it's iced. I'm going to put it behind my little lion that Susanna made me. Hi, Susanna. Hi, Buzz and Linda. Hi, everybody. So that you can't really see the coffee. Then she made me this cute little lion. She knits these things. And I said, it kind of looks like a pig. But you know what she said to me? She said, I thought the same thing. She said, you know, I kind of looked at it. And I thought, it looks kind of like a pig with a lion, with a lion's mane. But it's cute. No, it's a cute little lion. And so I keep it up here. Susanna made it for me. Praise the Lord. All right. Final scripture. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, keep in mind that once you Gentiles in the flesh were called uncircumcision by those called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by hand. At that time you were separate from Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah, for he is our peace, the one who made the two, ha ha, ho ho ho, the one who made the two into one and broke down the middle wall of separation within his flesh. He made powerless the hostility, the law code of commandments contained in regulations. He did this in order to create within himself one new man from two groups. Hallelujah. One new man. It's not really like this. It's like this. One new man. It's kind of like a husband and wife. Two groups, but we're one. Amen? And it says it right here. This explains the whole message. This explains it in a nutshell, what I was just teaching. For he is our shalom, verse 14, the one who made the two into one and broke down the middle wall of separation within his flesh. He made powerless the hostility, the law, the code of commandments contained in regulations. He did this in order to create within himself one new man from the two groups, making shalom, peace, and to reconcile both to God in one body, through the cross, by which he put the hostility to death. And he came and proclaimed shalom to you who were far, and shalom to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by the same Spirit. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. You have been built on the foundation made up of emissaries and prophets, made with Messiah, Yeshua himself being the cornerstone, in him the whole building being fitted together. Oh, together, the whole building, together, we're being built together. But have we been built together for the last, since 1900 years, 1800 years, have we been built together? Well, the Jews were excommunicated from the church by Constantine. Well, first we were excommunicated by Pope Victor in the late 3rd century. And then in the early 4th century in 325, we were excommunicated by the Roman Emperor Constantine. All Jewish believers were excommunicated from the fellowship, from the unity, the body, the one body, the one new man. We Jews were excommunicated, right? And if you read the letter of Constantine at the Council of Nicaea, he calls us a hostile rabble of the Jews. He says, let us have nothing to do with that hostile rabble of the Jews. And for God has given us a better way, a more efficacious way. He called it Easter. And he said, no more Passover and no more Jews. He even excommunicated Christians in Asia who were celebrating. There were Christian churches who were celebrating Passover, and he excommunicated them too. Amen. So all the Jews were kicked out. So for 1800 years, this is the church, no Jews, until a revival happened in around 1970. And the Jesus freaks, the Jesus movement. And all these hippies in around 1969, 1970, all these Jewish people, kids, started getting saved. In fact, so many started getting saved that the Messianic movement started. And all these guys who are now retiring and dying, Messianic rabbis, who are leaving us, and some are just retiring, and some are getting older, some are in nursing homes, and some are still working. But, and some are passing away. These guys who are all hippies back in 1970, 71, are the fathers of the Messianic Jewish movement. And I came along in 1996. I'm like in the middle. And then now we have a new generation of the revival of younger people. And I'm kind of one of the few that are popped up in the 90s. There was a new kind of revival in the mid-90s of Jewish believers, which I was part of. And then, again, now we're having a new revival in Israel, mostly, of young people. And so the movement grows of the Messianic Jews. However, we have to restore the fellowship that was broken, because it says in the last verses, verse 21, in him the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple for the Lord. And in him you also are being built together into God's dwelling place in the Spirit. But I don't even know 99% of the pastors in this area. I don't even know them. And I was only one of me. Surely they know I'm here, you know. Surely they know there's a Messianic synagogue. Many of them know because I knew their fathers. They don't know me. I can't go to all the churches, but they can call me. There's only one of me in 120 miles. If they want to have unity with us, here's our synagogue number. If you guys want to have lunch with me, I invite you. Here's the number of our synagogue, 276-644-1678. 276-644-1678. If you're watching and you want your pastor to have unity, have him watch this message, give me a call, and I'll be glad to have coffee or lunch with your pastor, and we can make unity again. But right now, I'm not in unity with 99% or even more, 99.5% of the churches in this area. We're not being built together. And if we're not being built together, as God says, are we really being built into a sturdy foundation? If you put bricks on top of each other without the cement, or if the cement is too watery, you know, it's not going to hold, is it? Amen? But we're supposed to be built together. This is very important. And this is the end of my message. So thank you for listening. Call me. Have your pastors call me. You call me. There's a guy named Billy Gray. I think his last name is Gray. He brought his pastor to see me one day. And Bill, he supports our ministry from time to time, and he was out in Johnson City, and he brought his pastor from Christ Fellowship. We had lunch one day. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing, breaking bread, worshiping together. This place should be full of Christians. It should be full. This place should be full with pastors and Christians. There should be an overflow of people. But I didn't advertise it heavy. I just spoke it in my messages. But if people really understood the Bible, they would know this is what God wants. Jew and Gentile, one in the Messiah, built together into a dwelling of the Spirit, built together, Ephesians 2, into a holy temple of God, not built alone. That's why God sent me here. That's my mission for this region, is to bring us together, but I cannot do it by myself, folks. I need your help. So please support this ministry. Please give, and please call me. I will gladly meet your pastor. I will gladly go with you to meet your pastor and set up an appointment, have lunch, coffee, whatever you want to do. I'll be glad to visit with them and with you. Just set it up. We'll make an appointment. Leave a message if nobody answers, and we'll get back to you. I promise, okay? But anyway, that's my message for today. Jew and Gentile, one in the Messiah. Happy Shavuot. Happy Pentecost. Chag Shavuot Sameach. Happy day of Shavuot. And happy day of Pentecost. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai vayishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha vayasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat Shalom. Thanks for coming. God bless you all. Amen. Hallelujah.